Triple M Football is the number one football call on radio. And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football.
Oh, welcome to Friday Night Football, Triple MCG style, the kickoff round five, and we are looking forward to this one enormously. Going to be a cracker. Hawthorn, the best team in the competition for the last 5 years, take on an emerging Adelaide Crows. We saw them finals out here, and they got a nice touch-up from this team, the Hawks, in the final series last year. But they're a different side, and they're playing very nice football, so lots to look forward to, including chip-off, of course, Friday night staple. Don Pike joins us, the very impressive young coach of the Adelaide Crows. Matt Spanger up here in the box, and Brendan Goddard to help us all night. Sitting next to the Chief on special comments. That is going to be fantastic as well. As I look around the room, as always, the number one people in football assembled in the Triple M box. Damien Barrett, nice to see you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. And they're doing everything right, though, Crows, aren't they? Under Don Pike's leadership.
Yeah, we're looking forward to chatting to him, actually. The Chief's here. Hello to you, Chief.
Hello, Jim. Looking forward to tonight. I think Adelaide are one of the teams to watch this year.
And the Big Duke just tearing it up. The Hot Breakfast again, dominating number one FM breakfast show in the ratings. Well done for that,
yeah,
Duke.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Been a nice start to the year. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Crows. Haven't seen them live this year, and you know, sometimes you just go through a season and the games you get rostered onto, you don't see a lot of one side. I didn't see a lot of the Crows last year. Super impressive. They've got a lot of players that they took as high draft picks or rookie elevations who are all of a sudden very, very, very good players. And I think they're a good chance tonight to, well, certainly put on a good show and might even win.
And we're chatting to Don Pike, Chief, and I imagine that he would be just so excited about the next 2 hours or the 2 hours once the balls bounce, because everyone wants to play at the MCG if you're an interstate club, and everyone wants to play against the Hawks, who are the best team in the comp.
Yeah, they haven't played here a lot in the last few years, the Crows, so they will enjoy getting to the wide expanses of the G. I think their game style certainly suited to it. They get to test themselves against the Hawks, even though I don't think the Hawks are going anywhere near as well as they have the last few seasons. They've got to get themselves up and running as well, but they are the benchmark at the moment. Yep. They're finding ways to win. And so the Crows, having ticked most of the boxes thus far, and in particular with a great win over Sydney last week, which I thought was particularly impressive. I only watched it on TV, but I thought they looked very, very good. They'll relish the challenge tonight.
The forward line, Chief,
brilliant,
in no order, Lynch, yeah. Walker, Betts, and
Big Jerker.
Yep. Does it lay claim to being the best in the comp, or do you need to see it against this Premiership Hawthorn defence the night before we go into that sort of realm?
Oh, look, they've got to prove themselves over time, but they certainly give every impression that they're as good as any forward line going. I love the diversity in the mix because they can all push up, they can all cover ground. Josh Jenkins, he runs as well as any big bloke going around. We know how devastating Eddie Betts can be. And even though Miller is injured this week, Charlie Cameron comes in, who we've seen before. So he gets another opportunity. He's that live wire half forward, the goal sneak that can push up and run back with the fly to the ball. So if they get enough ball going forward, they'll test the Hawks back six. Don't worry about that.
I only saw bits and pieces of their game in Launceston against the Saints, Chief. But again, it looked like a team that's prepared to take it on and run from behind and flick it around, trouble the Hawks. The quick sides that are prepared to take risks and take the game on are the only team that ever seemed to give Hawthorn any trouble.
Yeah, look, I'm not so much if it's game style at the moment as opposed to the Hawks just being down in a lot of key areas that they've dominated for the last couple of seasons, and all of a sudden that exposes everyone, I think, to a little bit more pressure. So teams that have been able to win contested ball, win clearance ball, and get some first use of the footy instead of getting slowed down deep in defence and then having to try and work their way through, give themselves a good opportunity to score.
Well, the only reason I say that is because that's certainly Adelaide style. Yep. They love taking it on. The halfbacks just get on their bike and run, and they flick it around.
And they're a bit underrated, I think, in the wider footy community, Jim. Now, the Melbourne audience, a bit like me, you don't see them that often. Yep. But Brody Smith is one of the best running halfbacks in the game and has been now for a fair while. Rory Laird averages 27 disposals back there. He's a really good player. Talia is a brilliant key defender who just doesn't get beaten week in, week out. They can go right. Rory Atkins now plays on the wing a bit, but he wins a lot of the footy. So they're not big names in the AFL world yet, but they are big players and they play well every week.
Yeah, I think we keep talking about how good a test this is for Adelaide. I think it's a great test for Hawthorn as well. They haven't been applying the same sort of pressure that they've been able to in recent seasons that's created all those turnovers, all the small forwards that do the tackling, that do the chasing, the pressure from behind. We haven't seen as many turnovers, we haven't seen as many scores from turnovers that the Hawks are used to generating. So whether they can put enough pressure on those running players that Duke was just talking about remains to be seen.
On the rush hour, Duke, Bill Brownless just threw into an ad break. He's setting up a team from scratch. Who are you taking, Eddie Betts or Sua Rioli? going into a song.
Yes.
I said Eddie Betts going into the song because he hits the scoreboard more. And then after the song, I backed back and said, no, I'm actually changing my mind. But it's Elle McPherson, Claudia Schiffert.
And for me, the fact that, yeah, that's right, the fact that Eddie Betts is in that conversation, because I rate Cirioli as just one of the most extraordinary players I've ever seen play the game. And we know he's unique and he does things with small amounts of possessions, but Eddie's got himself to the level now where you genuinely would have to think about it. He's so consistently good.
60 goals last
year. He struggles against Hawthorn. Mm. Kicked one goal in two games against Hawthorn last year. Stratton normally gets him, I think, Chief.
Yep.
So I reckon I'm interested what Don Pike's got in store for Eddie Betts tonight. He might be thinking of maybe something different to try and get him into the game.
Talk about Adelaide on this venue, Chief. The last time they were here, in a final anyway, they won against the Bulldogs in a game that probably had numbers suggesting the Bulldogs should have won, but they can play it.
They can, and they've got the efficiency. If they create enough opportunities, that forward line you're talking about, Damo, they're lethal. Now, if they convert, if they make the most of the opportunities, they'll trouble any side, the Adelaide Crows. I've got no doubt about that. I didn't have them in the mix as far as the, you know, the top five or six teams go pre-season, but I've quickly reassessed that.
You have.
I like what they're offering, and I think they're as good a top four prospect as any team
really?
At the moment. Yeah, absolutely.
So, just not wanting to correct you for any other reason other than to say, the last time they were here was the semi against Hawthorn where they got pounded. And they played the Bulldogs the week before.
Yep.
So the only reason I bring it up, Damo, is because it interests me their response. Because the West Coast Eagles were smashed out here and then came back and got smashed again and looked like nothing had changed.
Yep.
So for Adelaide, what interests me, I know it's a different coach and a different setup, but they'll hopefully be smarting after that.
Well,
pumping.
The players remember it, Jim. And, you know, 44 inside 50s they had in that game. It was 135-61. They got absolutely belted in that final. So there'll be players out here that will know this is a massive step up in class. This is against the, you know, one of the all-time great sides. And, then, you know, there's a little bit of scouring early until you get in the game and play well. I get the feeling they're going to handle it really well. I think they are a different side. And, you know, I love the fact we would put this one down at the start of the year. So, well, round five, we'll get to the G. Hmm. Oh, yeah, you know.
Hawks
you know,
just win.
Yeah. And now you're sitting here and all you want to just discuss is how good this game's going to be tonight. I think it will be just that, Chief.
That West Coast game, when they came here, that's the best Hawthorn's pressured all year. And it put West Coast off their game. The Hawks did it for a quarter, the first quarter against the Bulldogs. Then it dropped off. They haven't done it for the other 2.5 matches. So if they're a little bit slack in that area tonight, that'll allow Adelaide to settle. That's going to be, I would have thought, one of the key priorities for Alistair Clarkson. If they give Adelaide a little bit of time and space to breathe early and let them settle, it'll be a hard slog for them.
Midfield's been outstanding, Jim, as you well know. There's a possibility that Lachie Neale from Fremantle could well be added to the mix. Now, there's a lot to Adelaide Crows mix.
Wow.
There's a lot to play out with that, obviously. He's a Fremantle player. He's out of contract. Discussions are being had internally and externally
by management.
What's the backstory
there, Dan? They don't tend to lose players Fremantle over the journey once they've got them and are established and he's a really good player. Why would he be wanting to get
he's
out
He's just of exploring options, Dust, which he's entitled to do. I'm not going to say he's definitely leaving, but the fact he's out of contract and is not prepared to recommit at this point, and Adelaide Crows are one team. Yeah, Adelaide. Adelaide Crows are one team very much into him, and they'd like to be getting him.
They've always been a destination club, Adelaide. They've done well getting players to come and play there. And when you go and see their facility, Duke, as you and I have, it's no surprise. And I think they're about to do a Hawthorn and a West Coast Eagles and add to that significantly in the next years. So they look after their people very well. If you get drafted to Adelaide, you have a very nice experience.
Yeah, and I think they're smart. They've always got good resources. And people go over there initially, you know, not sure about living in the city. And then they go, how easy is life here? You never, ever get in a traffic jam. Standard of living's pretty good over there. They play good football. And I think they might be a good destination. What are you laughing at, Chief?
Packed house.
No.
Adelaide Oval's jam-packed every time.
Not on your radar, Chief, to move over Adelaide at any stage.
A lot of people happy to live over there, Duke.
You and Jim got out of there pretty quickly, Duss.
Well, we
16
saw
years.
Yeah,
no, absolutely loved it.
Like a life sentence, wasn't it, Jim?
No, I loved it, Chief. Absolutely. I couldn't get enough of it. In the end, I was ready to take on another challenge. But, Chief.
What, you'd mastered that one.
16 years was a nice time.
I think Jim felt he got too big for Adelaide. I think
is absolute rubbish.
Weren't you up in the hills anyway, Jim? You weren't actually part of the
Adelaide
people.
Adelaide Hills, it was beautiful up there. Very, very nice, although often very, very cold. But I just know because I've had our great mate the Buzzard Ned Kelly is an example of it, but a couple of other people too I've known whose kids have gone and played at Adelaide, and the welfare and the way they look after, especially people who aren't from Adelaide, that is apparently best practice.
Yep. second to none young Jake Kelly, who is going really well over there as well. But again, that's a hard back line to get into at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Mm.
Talent everywhere this side's got that you maybe didn't think 12 months ago was there.
The Hawks, we're going to do this footy stuff because I know we've got other bits and pieces to discuss as well as a story you want to have a look at, Damo. But the Hawks just amazed me, Chief. They can be just going. They're still 3-1. And they get themselves ready, and then by the second half of the year, Roughhead comes back and everyone gets nice and fit and able to go, and they just storm home and take the piss.
You can do it for a little. You can do it for a little while, Jim, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. And I think Alistair Clarkson's gone to great lengths to point out to the group that they haven't been good the last couple of weeks, but good teams find a way to win.
Which they have.
But you can't do that all year. You'll get away with it a couple of times. Eventually you'll run into a team that's on their game and they'll punish you. And if they don't improve, you know, a good 10 or 15% on the last couple of weeks, they'll get rolled tonight.
Interesting response from the article we discussed too, Damo, early in the week from Carolyn Wilson about Clarko still not signed, and he came straight out and said, well, basically I have, and it's only a matter of time, and in a couple of weeks we'll have it all finished.
Said he's not going anywhere. And, I mean, you're questioning and points during the week, Jim, where that it is strange that he hasn't actually put pen to paper, but I think all we can do is listen to what he said himself, his absolutely. Own press conference. He is not going anywhere.
A fairly
it's
long
going to be
bow,
Damo, to I thought it was Dust. Yeah, Dust.
Turning up at Collingwood at some stage in the near future. I mean, I'm not my area of expertise, but I would have thought that was never going to happen.
We discussed it on air on our Monday night program, and I didn't get it. I wasn't having a go at Caro for writing it the way, because I wasn't aware of some information she may well have been, but it seemed extraordinary linked to me, given that Eddie Maguire is not going to be abandoning Nathan Buckley soon. I'm not saying it won't happen, but he's not going to be doing it in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And also Damien Hardwick's locked away at Richmond. And they were the two teams that she linked him to.
Speaking of presidents, extraordinary Peter Gordon today, the president of the Western Bulldogs, wading into an area that we all tread very carefully around.
Well, I'll get our listeners to work out what's happened here, Jim. And there's been a follow-up to it. There's a development on Peter Gordon's comments about another club.
I just saw a very nervous Chew man. He's going down to get the Don Pike interview started. I suspect he's got two questions, Duke. They'd want to be good. This is an intelligent man.
There's a big moment for the Chew man. Don Pike, I think, is just about the most intriguing person in football at the moment, what he's doing with the Adelaide Crows. And as he left, he said, I've got one question banked. He's been ringing around, and we said, no, you need two questions. So he's on his way down. Hope he gets it right, Chew, for his sake, the Chew man.
At least they'll be looking eye to eye.
At Triple M Football is how you get stuck into, of course, talking to us. And you can send in your suggestions as to what Chew Man should ask Don Pike, Ash Harvey. Been getting much rain over there, Pike?
Yeah.
go down the spud path, maybe with it. Don Pike is a great friend of our family's, Duke. Known him for years. He studied with my brother at University of WA, did a commerce economics degree. And this just tells you the nature of my brother's disgraceful behaviour. They had an assignment they had to hand in, and the assignment took sort of weeks and weeks to compile. So Mark went and got one bloke to do half of it, and then Don Pike to do the other half, and then just swapped them over while keeping the whole lot for himself. So he didn't lift a finger to hand this assignment in.
No.
And they met at the stairs, the other Nipsey and Top Heavy. And it dawned on both of them what was going on. And my half-witted brother was disco dancing in the middle, trying to explain to them that he'd actually done plenty of it.
Come on, Sticks.
Well, this is what...
Come on, Sticks.
It's no surprise how he's managed to sizzle his way through his 58 years or however old he is.
Well, that man was once CEO of a footy club and is now running the Coaches Association, Jim, on integrity like that.
I know. Well, this is back in his early days when he maybe had other priorities. Although I don't know what they are.
Very successful man, Don Pike, isn't he? Business. Did he sell a business at a young period?
He did. In mining in Western Australia, had enormous success. And then after he finished corporate life, he went, and he was a director of the West Coast Eagles at that time. Then he went back as a coach for Neil Craig at the Crows. Then back as a coach for Adam Simpson just recently and very successfully. And now, so he's an intriguing fellow. No
he was
doubt
on
about
the board
that.
At West Coast as
he
well
was,
for a while,
yep,
wasn't he?
He was. No doubt about it. He ticks an enormous amount of boxes. Speaking of presidents, Peter Gordon, what did he say today?
Interesting enough, Jimmy, he does have a weekly spot on 3LO Radio in Melbourne in the mornings, and he talks all matters of football. Bizarrely today, he ventured outside the confines of his own club and made observations about another club, that being a player at Port Adelaide. Let's retrace what he said, and then I'll bring our listeners and the panel here into a follow-up that has occurred during the day. But this is Peter Gordon on ABC Radio this morning.
They made their big announcement about playing in China, and then they promptly lost to the Giants by 86 points.
Yeah.
They've got a terrible record against Geelong.
And they're going to continue that way.
They've got some interesting behaviour issues going on with their prize recruit, Charlie Dixon. Tough season for David Koch.
Now, I know he's trying to be mischievous, Dar, so I wanted to hear it myself before, you know, not before making comments or even checking out the story, but have heard it, obviously played it there, and I don't know how he could then later on in the day, and this is the movement outside of what happened this morning, Dar, is he actually rang David Koch to effectively say that he was taken out of context in the reporting around the story since, and that he meant nothing by it. I don't know why he'd go down that path.
Well, I haven't heard that either, Damon, so he just played that. Then did read a little story online about that, and I suppose what not clear on is a footy tipping segment, like going through their tips. And
I think
and was what... it? And the only thing I could say was an attempt, you know, to be lighthearted potentially around why you would tip aside, and if you're doing that as we do on radio, and then you isolate, and it sounds as though he's gone around the corner to try and whack Port Adelaide, which I don't think would be his style. In fact, I'd be 100% certain that he would have no intention of doing that. So if that is the way it's been reported, I know they are certainly very keen to be a very humble organisation and very respectful organisation. So I know if that sounds that way, that wouldn't be what his intention would be, Peter Gordon.
Well, again, making comments about Charlie Dixon, and look, it is factual that Charlie Dixon was counselled by his new club, Port Adelaide, back in January for some behaviour issues which were beyond what had been happening to him at his former club, the Gold Coast Suns. But as we know, I mean, Peter Gordon is chairman of a footy club that has had player issues himself, and there's no need for us to raise them now. But
every footy club's got player, and every footy club will going forward. So again, I don't think that would be mischievous or nasty. I don't think there's any agenda.
Well, he
that.
Said it, Darce, and he's rung right. David Koch today to say that he meant nothing by it, and Koch has accepted whatever it was that Peter Gordon has said. But at the very least, it is strange commentary about another club's player by another club's president.
Yeah, wouldn't
president.
Be the first president on a weekly radio segment, Jim, to wander into territory that maybe, in hindsight, look back. Jeff, you spent a lifetime...
He's digging, Duke, isn't he?
Mate, you spent a lifetime trying to keep Jeff Kennett...
very defensive of these Bulldogs matters, Darce.
I know Peter Gordon well, and I know that's not the way that sounds isn't reflection of what I know him to be like. So it wasn't me who said it. I didn't listen to the whole thing in entirety. So I can only say that wouldn't be the person I would think
very defensive.
He would
Peter
be.
Gordon wasn't a ruckman in a former life, was he, Jim?
I don't think Peter played in the ruck. I think he was more your back pocket, in an under operator chief. What are you angling at?
Just the propensity for perhaps saying something without thinking about it first, you know? That's all.
Were you attempting a little Jeff Kennett deflection?
Yep.
A little Bruce Laird down the fine leg so that you could get up the other end, Duke? Was that what you were on about there?
Didn't get a lot of traction with it, Chief. let's be honest with you. You defended Jeff for a long period of time publicly, but behind the scenes, you were really scathing.
You were, Chief.
Oh, now you've jumped on one.
<Might as well. laughs> But you do get defensive, Darce. Last week, Brian Lake made some comments about Robert Murphy's age and stage of a career to be able to come back after a knee reconstruction, and you shot him down and you went personal with him, and now you're defending the chairman. What are you, the gatekeeper of morality there at the board?
I'm not allowed to answer the questions the way I want to answer them, Damo. Is that not the way we roll here? Lakey carried on like a tool, as he's done before, and that was, you know, okay to point that out, I would have thought.
You have got a history of filthing up, Duke.
Occasionally.
I
think when I'm surrounded,
particularly Bulldogs,
surrounded by idiots.
Speaking of which, John Worsfold's comments around people disrespecting Essendon and Collingwood with Anzac Day didn't make a lot of sense to me. Nearly everything John Worsfold ever says makes sense to me, but that didn't, because I don't hear people suggesting, other than Dennis Cometti's comments during the NAB Challenge, which were all around, if they're going to be that non-competitive, are they the right team to play on this day?
Yep.
I think Dennis has since said, well, actually, they've been very competitive and they absolutely deserve to play. So he's corrected himself, if you like. But I don't hear anyone else ever saying that another team should play on Anzac Day.
No, I haven't either, Jim. It's their spot. I mean, I had the same reservations as Dennis did pre-season. It was a worry. If the AFL's to be honest, they were worried. Yeah. This game has now got, as a game of footy, an anticipation level to it that is nearly off the charts for reasons that we could not have foreseen even a fortnight ago. But I'm with you on it. I did hear John Worsfold. I think what he's done at that footy club has been quite extraordinary to this point. I didn't get, you know, maybe what I felt I read into what he said about the Anzac Day.
Well, I just don't, unless I'm missing in, and I could be, I haven't heard Duke any commentary about other clubs saying, well, we should have a crack at that.
You know what I love about it? It sounds to me he's he's in there now, and he's going to just set the agenda for Essendon. And if there's been any talk in the past, he's now standing up and saying, oh, we are a strong club again. We are competitive, and everyone can get stuffed, is how I read that. And I don't mind it from John Wurst. I don't think he's pretty bullish about what they've done so far, Chief, and what they're going to do in the future. Yeah.
I think he's been a breath of fresh air in an environment that desperately needed it, the Bombers. Yeah. So I think John Worsfold's ticked every box from the moment he got there. Jim,
yes.
I've been watching a drill out here on the ground that really worries me.
Oh, no.
Luke Hodge in the middle of the ground, practicing, delivering a ball to a moving target. The trouble is, it's Damien Monkhurst leading to him. Now, Monkey's got one or two of them, which has been okay. A couple have fallen just short. But judging the ball out in front of a leading monkey is like kicking to a sundial, Jim.
No.
It's not going to prepare him to kick to a normal person moving at normal speed during a game.
Premiership player for the Pies.
Yeah.
100 years ago and 80 kilos ago.
Oh, no. He is a big man, Monk.
He's a ripper, though.
He'd be 150 kegs.
He'd be 150 kegs without a shadow of a doubt, the big fella.
Alex Ashenko is close to the biggest human being I know. Monk's got him by, I reckon, 25 kilos. I reckon it nearly is. Joe Watson left today?
He did, Jim. Left this morning, mid-morning, to go to initially LA and then ultimately New York for a period of time. It's something he has long decided to do. He's made today the departure date. I don't claim to know how long he's going to be there, but it will be for a fair chunk of 2016. He probably will come back maybe once or twice within the period he's going to be over there. But he needs to do it, Jim. He needs to get away from Melbourne. Needs to get away from, I think, the questioning that he cops on every single level of his life on every single day when he's in Melbourne. And all we can say on his behalf through people far closer to him than I am, that he doesn't know what he's doing next year. He's using this period to go and work that out. I think David Zarakis made a pretty pertinent point last night. The fact that he's trained with the group pretty much from day one when they started right up until leaving today is a good thing in David's eyes, in that at least he goes over fit. He's going to train over there, and that obviously the fitness side of it is going to be key to what he gets his head around mentally to play on or not. So he's at least got the physical side of it up to scratch.
Is there some talk about him starting a business over there that's around fitness? Is that right?
I haven't heard the fitness aspect to it. I think there is a business connection to him going, but you having that specific is something I'm not aware of. But I do believe he's going to be as active as he possibly can in that professional or career workspace when he's over there.
David, not wanting to wade back into any of the detail, but I don't think there's anyone I feel more empathy for in the game of football than Joe Watson, for the situations he found himself in, having been at the absolute peak of his powers when all that unfolded, and a Brownlow medalist, and from my dealings with him, he's one of the great people you'll ever meet in football, Joe Watson. And then to see the body blows he's had to wear, Jim, along the journey. Who knows where it ends. I find that very sad.
Yep. As the two man's down there, Don Pike, I think, maybe just finishing up an interview with another media outlet. Chua, have we got you?
Yeah, you certainly have, JB. Just down here on the boundary line, waiting for the Adelaide Crows coach and Don Pike.
Yeah, righto. Well, the first couple of questions for you, Chua, and I want an upbeat voice, and I want a question that's got some sizzle, all right? I don't just want any line and length sort of, any of that sort of Simon Davis business.
Can one of the two be line and length, JB? Because that's pretty much all I've got in the tank usually. I'm a statistician, so
he's giving himself up.
Chua, all right. Well, I think I can see the Adelaide Crows coach emerging. So, as Chua, you've got. Well, we'll just wait till he gets the headphones on there, Don Pike, of course. But this is a very intelligent man, Chua. He brings plenty to the table, so don't stuff it up.
I remember when he was a great player for the Eagles. JB, that's for sure. We've got Don Pike, the coach of the Adelaide Crows, with me as we speak on Triple M Footy. Thanks, Don. Appreciate your time. Don, massive game tonight, Friday night footy, centre stage, playing against the ultimate heavyweight in the competition, Hawthorn. Must be a lot of excitement around the club, but I always want to know, what does a coach usually do on match day in terms of downtime? I mean, do you go for a bit of a run, pore over the papers, or how do you keep the headspace stable?
Hard hitting up front. I've gone for this afternoon I went for a run around Albert Park Lake, and then I read the paper, and then I had a little lie down.
Nice run there around Albert Park Lake.
Oh, no.
It was a lovely run. It was a lovely run.
Jeez. I can do it in 14 minutes.
Jim, get control.
Back to the footy. Don, we're four rounds in. The Crows in very, very good form. What's pleased you the most about the Adelaide Crows in terms of your game style today?
Yeah, look, we've been really pleased with our consistency as a group. At the start of the season, we were talking about a team-first approach, and we've got that so far. So, looking at the first four games, we were sort of going, well, who's our best player. We've had a lot of guys who have stepped up and have played their role and have played it really well. So probably that consistency of not only the individuals but also our effort across the four games.
Top heavy, we'll just have to jump in up here because the two man's only got two questions in his armoury.
He's only allowed two.
Only allowed two, no more for him.
Come on.
Now, very nice chatting to you, and I've loved the way you and your club are going about it. There's total buy-in, as you say, which is exactly what you need when you're a senior coach. Tell us what you need to do to beat this mob, because last time you're out here, you weren't attached to the club at that stage, but it was an awful pounding in a semi. How do you turn that around?
Well, look, it's a different side, a different year, and so we're, tonight, as in all games, it starts at the contest, and we've got to bring a really fierce attitude around the contest and the ball to make sure we win our share. And from there, it comes down to how we use it as well. So, look, we recognise we're playing a quality opponent, and it's a great challenge, but one which we bring in some confidence and some form, and really looking forward to.
Hey Don, congratulations on a great start of the year. We're really excited about watching your team play tonight and what you've been able to do. It looks to me as though players are improving under your tutelage each week, and Tom Lynch is one who fascinates me. He's taken his game, in my mind, to a level that I perhaps didn't think he had in him.
Well, yeah, he's one of many guys who've just looked to... We're driving a sort of a mantra around continual improvement, and he's one who's engaged really early, was keen to make a mark now as a guy who's been in the system for a while, and he's got a bit of a leadership role as well. So he's stepping up, which is really pleasing to see, because he can be an influential player as he was against Port in the showdown a few weeks ago.
Hey, Don, everyone keeps talking about Sam Mitchell. How many possessions he's getting, how teams are letting him run loose. We know it's a different game. We know the way game plans work now. What's your philosophy as an opposition coach in terms of trying to dull his influence?
Well, it's an interesting one because you end up, these days, you end up with one guy going to one. Things change around the way you structure and the way that you you play your team defence. And Sam's a fantastic player, but he's also very effective at moving and shifting. So one minute he's on the wing, next minute he's half back, next minute he's half forward. So you've got to be careful you don't end up sort of just getting totally, transfixed on one guy when in actual fact the game's flowing. So, look, we're aware of the influence he has on the game. We've got a plan as to how we'd like to nullify that influence. And sometimes it's not measured by purely possessions. It's measured by the pressure he's under when he gets the ball. So, we've got some things in place which we'll see how we go.
Don, when you drafted Mitch McGovern, did you expect to be having him play the first four games of the year and for him to have the impact that he has had to this point?
Oh, look, he was a guy that, when I came to the club, he'd been on the list for a year. He'd been a bit interrupted in his first season as a slightly mature age guy. So I think he's 20 now, Mitch, maybe 21. And he didn't get much of a look last year in terms of just playing regularly at Sandford level. And he, after a little bit of interruption early, had a really solid pre-season. And we're starting to see some of the talent he possesses. And his work rate in our forward line's become a real highlight in terms of not only his attack on the ball, but the pressure he's putting on as well. So he's earned his spot and he's continuing to learn and grow, which is great for young players.
Yep. And someone at the other end of the spectrum when it comes to matches played, Scotty Thompson, he's been around for 16 seasons now, seen quite a few coaches and a lot of things happening at that footy club, yet just keeps racking up the ball. Do you still feel he's going as well as ever at any stage of his already extraordinary career?
Yeah, look, he's another one who just keeps turning on. I mean, I had a chat with Scotty when I took on, and it was like, well, where is he at? And I've seen no sign yet to suggest that the game's moved past him. In actual fact, he keeps getting better. So he ran a PB at the start of the year in terms of our time trials. His energy and effort's still really high, and he's playing some great footy. So he's been a great warrior for the footy club, and as a guy that tonight I know is really looking forward to putting his stamp on this game early.
Hey, Don, what about Eddie Betts? He's had an extraordinary time in the game, but hasn't always fired to the level we know against the Hawks. Just one goal in the last two games. Do you do something different with him tonight, or just back him in to do what he does best?
Well, it's a bit of backing him in to do what he does best. He's he's in pretty good form, Eddie, and the last couple of weeks have been very good, and he can play a number of different roles for us. So it's important tonight that he doesn't just plonk himself in one spot and become an easy sitting target. So we've got some things with Eddie which we'll work through on the night, which will give him the best chance to stay in the game and really ask some questions of his opponent as well as of the Hawthorn defence.
Now, Pikey, pre-season you would have had some expectations as to where the Crows would be in 2016, a month in. Are you where you wanted to be? Are you ahead of where you wanted to be? How do you see it?
Oh, I haven't really sat down and thought about it, to be honest, Jason. I think we just look at each week and try and come up with a plan and get our players in the right mindset to play the style we want to play. And you know, I guess at the moment we've got some great positive feel amongst the group. They're getting some reward for the hard work they've done, and you know that's all you want is them to be engaged, them to be enjoying what they're doing, and looking forward to the challenge each week. And you know, we recognised early days that the draw was you know going to be a challenge in some respects because of the quality of teams we faced, but it's also was a great opportunity, and our guys have really embraced that. Week in, week out, and we get another chance tonight, which is exciting for them.
And are they? Do you get the sense that they're excited to come here? Obviously, it's the home of footy, the Coliseum, and take on the reigning premier. Is there a different mindset that you got a sense of on the bus than other weeks, maybe?
No, look, and it sounds pretty boring, but the reality for us is it's a game of footy, and you know the stage is no bigger, no smaller. I mean, yeah, it's Friday night and everything else, but you know the game's going to start in the middle, it's going to end, and you know at the end of the fourth quarter, and we're going to play the way we want to play, and against a good opponent. So really, I've been trying to get the players just to focus on what we can control, and what we can control is what's going to happen come game time, and you know the rest will take care of itself.
Damien Barrett asking about Mitch McGovern, and of course his brother Jeremy McGovern, but I'm more interested in Mitch in this discussion because I wonder if he's got the same body shape as his old man Andrew, who's a real fat bastard. Pudding Guts McGovern, he was known as the Claremont Football Club. Does he take a bit more care with his diet than Dad?
Look, it's fair to say he's a bit more diligent in respect to some of those things. Mitch is a good young man. One of the first things he was strong on when I first met him was to talk about the fact that he's A, not his dad, and B, not his brother. So he kind of sent me an early signal to say, you're not dealing with either of those guys. So, and he's been great, so it's great to say.
Because your own body shape was sort of weird, wasn't it, when you played? You had the real sort of straight back and not a big frame, hence the nickname Top Heavy.
Any danger, Jim? Yeah.
Is that true or not? You wouldn't be arguing with any of that?
Oh, look, I had quite a unique running style, it's fair to say. But, you know, you just did what you did. I think, who was the guy who copied it? Was it Michael Johnson,
He
saw something there and thought he might take it and use it, so good luck to him.
Because Don Jim's in ribbing Nick himself, of course. He's got no issues.
Certainly one of the harder halfback flankers going
out. And well said. I'm glad your buddy brought that up, actually. Hey, good luck tonight. As Duke said, we're loving the way your club's playing and you're handling everything. It's brilliant. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Don Pike speaking, speaking to Chua. It's erupted social media. He went with, what did you get up to during the day? As his first question, Lockie reckons. Poor, what the hell, ship off Ash.
And Jim then started talking about his own time around
he gave
the
his
running
PB
track.
Around Albert Park.
It has erupted on social media. We're going to have to come. Chua, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
What did you think about that? What were you thinking? Was that Spud's question you went with?
I'll come back to you on that. Nah, look, I won't throw him under a bus. Nah, that was my question. I tried to be balanced with my line of questioning, but it was more of a Martin Sneddon style type delivery, wasn't it? It went about 121 clicks. Pike, it was very good. I just tried to keep the line of questioning balanced. That's all, JB, but obviously it's not that receptive on social media, I take it.
I'm telling you now, it's...
Sure, we might have to give you a crash course next week.
That's Hedley Howarth sort of stuff. That's like how line and length that was.
Cat on a hot tin roof down there, Chewie. He was shifting from side to side. You could feel he was short of breath. And Chewie, you just completely balls it up.
I suspect my papers have been stamped in terms of interviewing coaches. I've got a stat for you, by the way. Yes. Every coach, which hasn't been that many that I've interviewed before the game, haven't won for Hard Yakka, JB. Not a good omen.
Agent Chaos, of course, a long-time PAC member.
Yep.
What the hell? I've always wanted to know what a senior coach gets up to. Oh, I love it. Anyway, well done, Chua. Get back up here and dominate the Hard Yakka stats. We need to get to a break.
Chief hasn't spoken.
I'm not sure that was Chua's finest moment.
Matt Spanger in the box.
In fact, he shouldn't have access to a microphone again.
You might have to ship him off, Chief. That's next. We've had social media meltdown over the fact that Chua, when he got access to Don Pike, senior coach, asked the first two questions. He decided to go with the first one. Always been fascinated to know what a senior coach gets up to on game day. That was his opener. And really just got us off to a crouching start, to quote the old enforcer. So anyway, we had to pick it back up, but I haven't missed him. We'll get to what the Wolfpack are saying about the two man shortly. Damien Barrett's here, as is Luke Darcy and Jason Dunstall, and really looking forward to this big game. Hawthorn, Adelaide. Also, BJ Goddard's going to be a part of our coverage tonight too, which we can't wait for. What did you make, Damo, of Ken Hinckley's comments today and also after the game last week about the leaders at his club needing to stand up?
Yep, let's start with today's comments, Jim, before we delve into that as a topic for discussion. Ken Hinckley at a press conference today talking about the leadership of his footy club.
our best players, the ones that we regard really highly, are the ones who are probably not delivering at the level that they need to, because the younger boys are the ones who are there to support the older boys. It's the best leadership you'll ever give is game day, and so our leaders need to stand up.
Leaders need to stand up. Das, the wins that Port Adelaide have got this year against St Kilda in what was initially a bit of a battle in round one, and then they fixed up Essendon in round three. The losses came quite disturbingly for a Port perspective. Adelaide in round two, and then last week, and very disturbingly, against GWS. Ken Hinckley, he's been talking the big game throughout the course of the season. I like how he's gone about it, but unfortunately for him, the challenges he's putting on his players in a public sense are not being lived out during the course of a game against a quality opposition. And he just gives the appearance now, I feel, as a man who is out of options for what could lie ahead.
I think he'd be really nervous. He'd be concerned. When you get scored against as easy as Port Adelaide do at the moment, then you've got real worries. 151 points last week, GWS kicked. The Crows kicked 144 in the showdown game. And even when they beat St Kilda scored 100 points that day. And I've been a massive fan of Ken Hinckley. I love what he came in and did in his first year. And I love the attacking brand of football. I'm not sure if the cattle back there at the moment are able to sustain what he wants to do as a game plan. Sometimes you just have to sit back and go, all right, that was the A plan. We've got to tweak this a little bit. And maybe they just need to be a little bit more conservative in defence. And whatever they do, they've got to stop being scored against so easily. It's just a massive concern for them, Chief, as it sits at the moment.
The funny thing with Port Adelaide is if you said the team's 2-2, and the two losses are Adelaide and GWS, who are both potential finalists this year, you would say, well, it's not the end of the world. But they're playing a brand of football that's so far removed from what we saw a couple of years ago. I've run out of chances that I've kept giving them, thinking they're going to bounce back to their best. And I just can't have them in the same conversation as, you know, six or eight or nine other teams that we talk about when we're talking finals.
Dale Lewis is big on this. He obviously sees a lot of them in Adelaide. And that when he talks about Port Adelaide, his starting point for them is, I'm putting words in his mouth here, but they're almost a mediocre outfit. So anything either above or beyond that is his starting point. I've looked at them, I think, incorrectly. I've looked at them a bit like I think you're alluding to, Chief, leading up until this point of the 2016 season, that they were okay, that they were going to get back into the finals this year. I think I've got them wrong for what it's worth.
They're gay deceivers, no doubt about it.
And that's what you do at the start of the year. You've got an expectation of side, and when they let you down, then you judge them hard. I thought they were going to bounce back and have a great year, Port Adelaide, so I'm surprised and reassessing them as we speak.
Well, the other thing, Duke, that you and I know, having spent good amounts of time in Adelaide, is the DNA of that club is that performance on the weekend against GWS, they, in the days of Greg Bolton and Brian Cunningham and John Cale, and that they would just not tolerate that. They would tear the joint down if they were of the opinion that they'd serve that up on the weekend. I mean, this is one of the most successful sporting clubs in our country.
They're a unique club, and they're hard to explain if you haven't actually been there and understood what that club stood. They just won. They won every week. They won more premierships in history, and they had zero tolerance.
None.
And big losses like that just didn't happen.
No.
And if they did, there were ramifications everywhere right throughout the club. And whether that still is what, you know, the AFL version of Port Adelaide quite is maybe a different story.
Probably, probably isn't. But it might be hard to replicate, but certainly that's where they've come from.
As commentators, we are very good at dropping off teams quickly when they torture us in our tips and they don't live up to the expectations that we had of them. But does anyone here think Port Adelaide can play finals this year?
Not now. No, not at this stage of this season. What I've
seen. No, I would say no. I wouldn't put my hand up.
They would have to change
dramatically.
And I think Ken Hinckley would acknowledge that.
And Jim, Dale Lewis's point on this club is that they did it okay in 2014, but even then they were dropping away before they had that extraordinary preliminary final performance against Hawthorn, where they fell only 3 points short. But last year wasn't at all good, so there's 22 matches of ineffectual footy there, and the opening four matches of this year are added to that 22 and a bit of that chunk in the back end of 2014. So I think it's now there's enough on the table for us to make those assessments.
They've still got dangerous talent, so if they can get it right, they can mount a charge. But that game on the weekend was one that they will hope they never see again.
Peter Gordon's man, Charlie Dixon, most pressure now falls on him, doesn't it, Das, because of the unavailability of the Ryder and Monfries, obviously, from the Essendon situation, and also with the Jay Schultz. Now, Jay Schultz may not have been going to have a massive impact, given the age and stage of his career. He's been a very, very good player, but he's now not part of what is going to be happening, certainly in the immediate future. I'm not sure Charlie Dixon's up to what it was done. And he didn't sign off on this either, by the way. He signed up to be part of a group.
Of course he did.
Now he's become the main man.
Look, and I must admit, you go by what you see in players and when you call Gold Coast games in the past. I always thought Charlie Dixon was going to be a really solid player, you know, potentially have impact on game. I didn't see him as the guy that was going to change a club and come be there as a marquee forward. And, you know, I still don't think that. I still don't think he's, you know, a one-out star. Tom Lynch, who plays up at the Gold Coast, I looked at from day one and thought he has got the ability to be your game-changing key forward, Chief. So
they need him to be. They desperately need him to be. And he needs an attitude readjustment after what I saw last week. He just lost the plot. Mm. It was bizarre to see what he was doing.
Hawthorn, of course, love playing here, as does this man, Matt Spanger, who's been good enough to join us. Spang, welcome.
Thanks very much.
Your Hawks tonight we're going to get to, but your own personal setup, you were just telling us off air that you're about to restart again with Coburg tomorrow.
Yeah, it's almost...
Against Coburg tomorrow.
Yeah, it's almost more miraculous than Shawnee playing 300 games. It's me actually getting on the park this year. But no, I'm excited to get back out there. It's been a long time coming.
Explain to people who don't know, what's the story?
Just a continuous pattern of calf injuries sort of this pre-season, which everyone's very quick to remind me is the old man. Injury, but I'm at the moment very, very, very good. So, looking forward to it.
Spang, you got a great demeanour about you. I love it. Even with all that going on in your life, you always seem to have a great attitude and fight your way through it. And I think that's part of why when you do get out there, no one is better received than you from the Hawthorn people. Do you feel a fair bit of that love that comes your way?
Oh, you certainly feel the love. It's great. I must admit, the Hawks fans are unbelievable, but also the AFL populace treat me really well. So there's plenty of other players who go the other way. But I always think to myself, we're pretty privileged to be playing AFL footy, and I love what I do. And, even if I have to spend some time in rehab accordingly, then it's not too bad.
Far too happy a person for my liking, Duke.
It's sort of the opposite of you, Chief,
There must be times when you say this is getting to be a real slog.
Oh, certainly. I mean, last year when I just couldn't get going, I had next to no continuity last year. And then when you miss out on a grand final, which unfortunately I'm all too familiar with, but, once you've had the success as well, you desperately want to get back out there and be a part of it. So to watch the boys succeed last year was fantastic, but at the same time, personally, you do feel it a bit, and then you've got to get a bit frustrated yourself as well. So those things going forward do get to me.
So sometimes you can't always provide your own motivation because you go through emotional ups and downs. Where does that support come from to keep driving you, to keep pushing you?
Oh, to be honest, I'm pretty good as far as finding my own personal motivation. Sometimes it's to my own detriment. Like, I've pushed probably too hard when I needed to take a step back.
Yep.
And Clark, I'll be the first to tell you that's probably one of the reasons for the recurring injuries recently. But, the clubs are pretty good as well. I mean, Jace, we've got a pretty good culture down there. Yep. And the guys are driving each other pretty well. And that competition for spots is always healthy, I think. So that's also a pretty strong contributor.
The footy you've sampled has been with good clubs, hasn't it? 9 seasons, 55 games at West Coast in a good era, Sydney Swans in a good era, and now Hawthorn in an extraordinary era. What sets apart the club you're currently at from the other two very good football clubs as well?
Yeah, well, when I first got to West Coast, they'd obviously come off the back of a loss in 2005, and they had a real drive, but you could almost feel the relief when they lost it. And then coming to Hawthorn in comparison, they'd obviously lost 2012, and then there was an even greater drive from the players who didn't play in 2012 to win it, and then following on that again. So we had enough players contributing throughout the season who didn't play in a premiership, and we really used those guys to launch. And I was one of them in 2014, and Taylor Giray certainly comes to mind as a player who really wanted to play and won. And you drive off that,
Sicily now doing
similar. Right. So, and it's great. It's infectious when it works, and obviously Billy Hartung was a hard luck story last year, and you want to win a flag for those guys as much as they want to play in one.
But looking forward to Hawthorn 2016, from what we've seen over the first month, they don't look like they're travelling the way they have been the last few years. What's the difference?
To be honest, I don't know. It's a funny thing being in rehab. You don't really get too much of an insightful look at the boys' feel on the ground and all that sort of thing. So I can't comment too much about the on-field stuff from a feeling point of view. But we've played some pretty decent sides in the first four games, and particularly, the Bulldogs and Geelong. But St Kilda are a much improved side, and we scraped our line again, but we really played some great footy against West Coast. And showed glimpses of what we're certainly capable of. And I don't, we're certainly no one's hitting the paddock stations or anything like that. But we know we've got room for improvement. I think that being at 3-1 and knowing you can improve is a good position to be in.
Often when you're sitting in rehab, Spain, and you're on your own and you're on the bike, and as you said, you don't get that you know, energy feeding off the group. Tell me what the conversation's like when Clarko wanders past you, or you catch up in the car park. What's he saying to motivate you at the moment?
Well, for me personally, he always just tells me to get my body right. That's the main thing. I mean, once I get it right, I'm as good a chance as any to play a game, he says. And whether or not he comes through with that comment, I'm not sure. But it's, you know, that's all he needs to say to me. It really doesn't. I mean, I've been around a few clubs now and seen a lot of coaches and spoken to a few people, and I don't need that real oomph from a coach now. So whereas the years gone by, maybe I needed a bit more of that nurturing sort of thing. So for me and him, it's just a short, sharp convo, where you at, and that's more than enough.
Tell us about Sean Burgoyne. An incredible career, 300 games tonight. Underrated, I reckon, by people who don't see him as closely as you blokes do.
Yeah, I don't, and for the life of me, I do not know why. He's one of the best players I've ever played with. I remember when I first started playing footy at the Eagles, I got to play with Drew Banfield, and I thought playing with a two-time premiership player would be the greatest thing you'd ever do, you know, and now I'm playing with a whole bunch of four-time premiership players, and Shawnee, you know, leads the way almost on that. He's unbelievable, some of the things he can do. He's the guy we put in positions when we need something to happen, forward, back, mid, doesn't matter. And, I mean, he's not called Silk for no reason. So, amazing player to play with. Great person, great family man, and, you know, beautiful to have around the club.
He will be celebrated tonight, and so he should. Hey, we don't want to hold you up any longer. Good luck with... So, 60 minutes... when's that, tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow, and then... what if you're absolutely tearing it up, Spang? What if you kick seven by then?
Kick seven from full back would be nice. No. No. It still doesn't matter. You still got to do the process, get the body right. Otherwise... you know, probably just end up doing the same pattern as I did last year. So
good luck, mate.
Good luck. Everyone's with you, and hopefully you'll get back real soon.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.
How are the wheels, Jim?
No, good. They're actually
because you normally
nice
make brogue. On them.
No, it's a nice brown brogue, which goes with the top, of course.
You can actually thank Will Schofield for these. These were his. I was in his bridal, his groomsman. These
oh,
are the ones
right,
he chipped in
he
for.
Bought
so.
Them, did he?
Yeah, well, jeez, we used actually combined our Aquila vouchers from the Sunday Footy Show.
No, that makes a lot more sense. An AFL player actually chipping in and buying someone something just doesn't resonate.
I've
at
heard
all.
Of Duke.
So a freebie. There you go.
That's a very nice pair of wheels. I like them.
Just on the way, it has been confirmed that the man you mentioned a minute ago, Alistair Clarkson, has re-signed. The club has announced that tonight officially. 3-year deal. You'd be happy, I'd imagine, given the relationship you just spoke of a minute ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Clarko's a great coach, and he's got a great rapport with all the players. And he's been really transparent with talking to the players about, certainly not the exact figures on the dollars and cents or anything like that, but just saying that he's... you know, he's working it out, and so don't worry, guys, I'm not going anywhere. And so
he's been saying that for some time, hasn't
Yeah, and yeah. put all the players' minds at ease. Not that yep. we ever really thought anything different, yep. but if there was any element of doubt, it was done. And then we were great, let's move on, let's play some footy. So, yep.
All right, Spang, we'll let you go, mate. Thanks very much for that.
No, thanks very much.
Thanks, Matty. Good work.
Spang is a beauty. We appreciate that. All right, we need to carve off a little time here because we can't hold the Chief back any longer. He's got that truculent look. Got that real sort of, I want some air time. I don't want to be yep. interrupted. I want to go. So I think, is it the golf bag or the Hose Mary back in the studio?
Golfy, I think.
Might be golf. Golf, hit the sting, please.
Ship the hell off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Ship off.
Find a little boat and ship the hell off.
All right, Chief.
Thank you, Golfy. We're going to start in the world of UFC, Jim. Oh. UFC 200 coming up. One of the biggest events on the sporting calendar, I would have thought. And Conor McGregor, one of the big names
big
in the
Conor.
Sport, apparently wouldn't play ball. He didn't want to do the promo tour. And Dana White, the owner of UFC, said, well, if you're not doing the promo tour, you're not fighting. And so he announced his retirement on Twitter,
yes.
Jim, thinking, I'll call the bluff. I'm a big name. Yep. I'll retire.
That's it.
Dana said, oh, so be it. We'll move on.
Dana shipped him
he
off.
Backed, he backed himself up. And so all of a sudden... young Conor McGregor's done a bit of an about face and said, oh, I wouldn't mind coming back and fighting in UFC 200. But it remains to be seen whether Dana actually lets him fight now. So
jeez.
I just reckon that's a fantastic way for someone that's running a sport to sort of say, hey, the sport's bigger than any individual.
Can I read a quote on that where Dana White, who runs the show, said, without me in UFC, he's just an Irish thug.
Oh.
I think I read
jeez.
That.
Oh.
So Dana's actually done it for us. He said, Conor, ship off. I really, really like it. Need to talk about one of the security guards downstairs while he's coming
again.
In tonight.
Again.
They have, it's a tough job to do, Jim.
Yes.
But I would have thought you need some sort of personal skills, some sort of ability to interact with the public. This bloke looked me up and down as I walked in like you would a dog turd on the bottom of your shoe.
Oh, Chip,
not the chief.
No. And then grunted something as I said, am I good to go in? So in I came, and I just thought he's going to get a little ship off just for me because I didn't like his attitude.
This is the second time already this year.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a theme here. I think the chief's got the new car, Jim. Yes. And he doesn't like anyone putting their hands on the new car.
Beautiful. Duke, you know, this is walking in. Downstairs. I parked outside, mate.
Oh, really?
Walking in on the outside. I'm just walking in, holding a folder, nothing to see here. Jeans and T-shirt, can't be hiding anything.
Copped a bit of
looked
attitude.
At me like the proverbial, and I didn't like it.
Did he know who you were, Chief?
It didn't matter. No, if I was a general public, and I am a general public person, it was the same thing, Waka. Uncalled for.
No one speaks to you like that, Chief.
Now, I need to ship off someone that's a very, very big name.
Oh, yes. Not me again.
That's one of the sillier things you've said. And
I couldn't resist it.
Well,
Chief.
I loved
it. I'm talking about a lady that is synonymous with success in Australian sport, Dawn Fraser,
who is
an Olympic champion and has always gone into bat for Australia and everything Australian and supported our athletes and sports people at every opportunity.
Chief, you're dealing with an icon here.
I know that.
Chief's taking some piss out of the way she speaks to.
She's hopped on Facebook and ripped into Adam Scott, accusing him of putting money ahead of national pride because Adam Scott said he's not going to play in the Olympics.
Yes.
She's entitled to an opinion, Chief.
She is entitled to an opinion. Is that opinion based on any fact? Does she know that he's putting money ahead of the Olympics? Maybe Adam just thinks that golf shouldn't be in the Olympics. Maybe it doesn't hold the passion in him that it does for others, and so he would be doing a disservice if he actually went through the motions and played for Australia in golf at the Rio Olympics.
So what's happening to Dawn?
He's pulled out. And Dawn said, how much money do you want in life? Not showing much for your country. And then she topped it off with, I'm still trying to survive at 78 years of age, but a very proud Australian. Well, Dawn, it's not about you. I'm sorry to say, Adam made his decision, and it's his to make. So, Dawn, I love you, and you're very Australian. But ship off
Dawn Fraser. No. Shipped her off.
You can't ship off our Dawn.
I do love Dawn.
She's 78, Chief.
Yep, and just got shipped. And one to finish with. Now, this one is very, very, very close to my heart. I get a little emotional when I talk about my beautiful mother, who's the sweetest woman.
No, you can't.
My beautiful mother's the sweetest woman on the face of
the
planet.
This is the only time we do it get emotional.
I love her
Chief.
Dearly.
Yeah, know that.
I would hold her up against Mother Teresa, Florence Nightingale, you name it.
Yep.
She's up there. And I would have thought that we all love our mums and would do whatever we needed to do to look after them.
Yeah,
if my mum, was flying down from Brisbane, regardless of time, I would be at the airport to pick her up.
I know you'd be there, Chief.
In fact, last year you went and saw her, made a specific trip to go and see her, and had a lovely week with
her. So we hear that last night, James Brayshaw's mother flew over on the midnight horror, the red eye, call it what you will.
Is that why Jim's so tired?
Got in very early this morning.
I flew her over.
Did she get picked up? No, she did not.
You didn't pick her up.
It was jump in a fat maxi mum, and was Jim there to greet her when she got to his place? No, I'll leave a key out for you, and don't wake me up when you get in, mum. No.
Jim. Joni, don't wake me up. And then she made as much noise as was humanly possible. I can only fly her over and provide a limousine.
Your beautiful mother is the reason you have the life you have.
Once she was there.
And for the treatment that you gave her, you can ship the hell off. Yeah.
Once she was there, Chief, pipe down. I need to have a Friday morning sleep.
No, Jim.
In you come and just quietly go about your business.
Ship off, mate. Not having it, Jim.
Oh, I tell you, if she does that again, she will be shipped off.
Reflects poorly on you, Jim. It does on that occasion.
I'll give her a permanent shipping.
I'm distancing myself from you, Jim.
I would have denied that, Jim.
No, that's absolutely what happened.
Jim, you didn't do that.
I got her there, but once there, her behaviour let her, she let herself down. Brendan Goddard, superstar captain of the Bombers, is special comment, special guest tonight. BJ, welcome to you.
Am I on?
Yep. You're on. You're on.
This thing's in my mouth here. That's all right.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Very, very good. How are you, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Long break. So, as we all know, playing Monday, so a 9-day break. So, Woosha was kind enough to give the older guys, actually, I think you had to be 30-plus, a couple of days off. So, enjoyed the Melbourne weather and enjoyed time at home with Billy.
Oh, and what, just contributing strongly in that area, are we? Or
Yes, Jim. I think the missus is getting more sleep than I am. So
yeah, I see.
I'm doing the early morning feed, so letting her sleep through. So I think I'm ticking a lot of boxes, a lot of brownie points anyway.
We're looking forward to Anzac Day. We'll obviously be doing it here on Triple M Football Monday. It'll be fantastic. Damo, I know question marks around the big power forward for Collingwood, Trav Cloak, and whether he's going to play.
There is, Jim. Nathan Buckley has probably cast that particular issue into even more doubt after his press conference today. This, as we go to what he said about Travis Cloak, he's referring to a premiership player, Jim, a best and fairest winner at Collingwood, a two-time All-Australian and a four-time Collingwood leading goal kicker, but he cannot guarantee him a spot in Monday's game as we speak.
No, as I said, we've got a squad of 28, so we're in no position to make definitive statements around any selection, given that we've got blokes that are under injury clouds and we need to get through training tomorrow.
Fox, where's it not clicking for Trav at the moment? I mean, the past few years he's had his goal-kicking woes, but right now, what's not clicking for him?
I don't really want to focus on one player at the moment.
It's strange. I mean, you either know he's going to play or not, and you say it, or you want everyone to think that there is a lot of doubt around it. But either way, there's significant doubt about Travis Cloak, not just for Monday's game, Das and BJ and Chief, but doubt, I think, for what lies ahead for Travis Cloak, because Mason Cox is going to be coming in.
We obviously read a lot into everything that said, BJ, and form opinions on it, but I suppose the art of coaching for me is, how do you get the best out of every individual? How do you make them feel good? And I don't know Travis Cloak well enough. He's the sort of bloke that needs to feel the love and needs to feel that he's such an important part of the team. But you can only read into that, Chief, that he is no guarantee at all to be there on Anzac Day.
Yeah, but I haven't got a problem with that. I mean, maybe he's given Trav as much love as he can possibly give, and he's got to the stage where he said, you know what, it's not working. Let's hang a little bit of doubt out there. Let's put the pressure back on him and say, well, you know, you're not guaranteed your spot. You'll wait until we pick the squad, confirm the squad on Monday before you're guaranteed.
And some players respond well to that. Some it does their head in and they respond the other way.
Well, look, if it does his head in, is he going to go any worse than he's been going? So, you know, there's no problem with trying something different. I've got no issue with that at all.
Even despite his status in clout at the club, Chief, that, I mean, it's one thing to deal with this situation internally, but to then put it into the public domain, as Nathan has done, and Nathan's a very clever man, a very articulate man, and he knows the effect of those words in the public domain on someone who's so important to it.
But what's wrong with doing that?
I'm asking you, is someone so important so responsible for what's happened to Collingwood in this successful era that it has had in terms of making finals, and now he's come to this stage of his career and he doesn't know if he's going to get a game on Monday?
Well, BJ, do you expect him to be out there on Monday?
I'd expect him to. Maybe I'm reading it a bit differently, but it might be a case where Bucks is keeping him, a bit like Chief said, on his toes. So it's, and I can't guarantee your spot right at the minute, but I think maybe at the end of the day he might go, all right, you've just snuck in, keep him on his toes. But I think we've got to be careful with writing off great players. You just mentioned the word future before at the footy club. So he's in a form slump, and he's been the first to admit that, and the club has, but you've got to be careful about talking about someone's future based on four games. So,
well, it's not based on four games. It's been a significant drop-off since 2013.
You could probably argue the team's form has been a fair drop-off too. So it's hard. Trav being a key forward and a guy that does like to work out of the goal square has got the ability to obviously go up the ground, but I'm sure if he was playing or Collingwood are getting 60 entries per week, like the top teams are and they have in previous years, that he'd be going much better than what he is.
The coaching emphasis in modern footy, Beej, is there an element with the Travis Cloak, who's been such an amazing player for such a long time, where Nathan Buckley's saying, well, mate, if you've got a problem, go and sort it out. Like, forget about the 15 other blokes around the place. You know enough about your own game. You work out what you're doing wrong and fix it.
Yeah, I think, and that's Trav's interview the other day walking into the club was pretty blunt. When he said, I need to grow a pair and go back to basics. Yep. And so I think that was a sign of, I know what I need to do. We've all been through form slumps as older players and come out of them, most of us anyway. But so I think he feels like he knows what he needs to do, and he will take it
Chief
upon himself to do that.
Chief just shaking his head there, Jim, said no form slump.
That's a ridiculous statement, Duke. That is complete and utter fabrication.
He just dismissed
never
that.
Had one.
I went through plenty of times where I could not draw it.
Kick seven once, did you?
Could not draw it, Duke.
Still kicked seven in your last year off about 12 games on one leg.
All you do when you're in a form slump is try to hang around the ruckman, because they won't get the ball, so you'll probably get a couple of fumbles and you'll get a couple of easy possessions.
Or a few little cheap handballs off. Yeah.
Still averaged 5.5 in your last year, Chief.
No doubt about that. Hey, with regard to what we were just talking about, Beej, I've always wondered with footballers how the responsibility for your own game against the coaching, you know, structure that exists in footy clubs, because The other game you love, golf, it's one of the things I love the most about it, is only one bloke hanging on to the club. So you can have as many caddies and coaches and all the rest of it, but if you cart a 76, there's only one person you can blame for that. Same with cricket, if the only one bloke with a cricket bat in his hand. So all the coaching stops at that point, and you've just got to find a way. Whereas with footy, there's still so much coaching that happens with blokes. And therefore, can you take responsibility for your own performance, or have you still got to constantly be trying to work within a structure and... Yeah, you know, that's where I think some of the confusion can come in.
I think it's based on age too. I think it's easier for older guys too, been around the game for a while, to know what they need to do to get themselves right. And I think that comes down to the coach too. I think we get a lot of trust, you know, whether it be do your own recovery or training session. You essentially, personally talking, it's like do what you need to do. And if you feel like you've done enough, come off the track. So I work within those limitations. I'm always one that wants to do too much, so I've trained myself to do that. But if I feel like I've ticked a lot of boxes, I'll walk off the track or I'll go, I don't need to do that. So there's a lot of trust involved. And I think with younger guys too, it's a bit like they're yes men. That's yes, I'll do what you say, just because they don't know. But I think there's a lot of trust involved. And older guys, yeah, they take it upon themselves mostly. And you find older guys have been around a long while, the mainly all hard trainers. So I think at this point, maybe for Trav too, it's maybe a little bit mental as well. Now it's become really mental. Now it's come off four. There's physically, I think he looks fine. He's fit as he's ever been, looks as fit as he's ever been. So I think just mentally, it's just playing on his mind a lot and affecting him.
Darcy Moore, Chief, what impact is his arrival at the club and his positional play within what they do affected anything Trav's about?
You'd like to think it'd help, because all of a sudden they've got another bloke that can be a key focal point. He looks a really good mover. I like the, you know, we're only seeing the early stages of his career, but he gives every impression he's going to be a long-term staple part of that forward line. It should only help Travis, because all of a sudden opposition teams have to worry about more focal points going forward than just the one and outnumbering Travis Cloke all the time. Maybe he gets more one-on-ones, Jim.
I ask you that because I know you shipped Dermot off up the ground and refused to let him within... What was the radius? You said you do what you like as long as you're nowhere near me.
Very different, Jim. That was back when we had legitimate centre-half forwards and they played up the ground. Now the forwards tend to play deeper. Chief, and you can play two or three tall.
Don't take a question and go a different place with it. How far did you demand he stayed away from you and never
Jim,
allowed to be
Jim,
anywhere near
I didn't
you?
Have to say anything. He knew.
I caught that when I first started with Rui and Fraser. I think we all did. Rui was the worst at it. With explicit language, get the out of my space. Get out of the 50. Yep. What are you doing?
But you're friends with Rui, though. Chief's not friends with...
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. But
Durbin, stop it, you.
You've kept it off the field as well as on the field.
That mentality leads to the early 2000s.
No, it's not.
It's ridiculous. But back then, you wanted the space because others weren't going to drop into it. So you just, if you told your teammate to get out, his opponent would go too. These days, if you leave that space there, well, the opposition's not going to allow that space there for you to work one-on-one.
What did you say?
Are you saying you wouldn't get a kick these days?
I wouldn't get through pre-season training now, PJ. I would never have got an invite to the combine, let me tell you.
When he folded back, like 89, for instance, when he had, you know, half his lung hanging out and all the rest of it, and he came down to your area, you were real unhappy about that.
And entitled to be.
What did you say to him at that point?
I asked the doctor to get him off. I was worried about his health.
Were you? It's my understanding that you motioned to the bench and got a runner out and said, get him off. Get this vomiting mess off the ground. Is that what
sometimes Dermot's too courageous for his own... You know, for his own self. So we had to actually make sure he was being looked after correctly.
We're going to get to a break.
Show's not about him, Jim.
We got Brendan Goddard and Jason Dunster to look after the special comments tonight. You get to the truth as we get to
takes
the break.
Takes a while with Chief, but eventually you drill down again. He's in good touch tonight, Chief.
I like it. He's a one-touch player.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.